Check one. Good morning. How many stoles I have? I have maybe a half a dozen for different seasons. Yeah. Though the green one this week, it's for common season. And then last week I had a different green one on, and that's one that I wear for communion. So, thank you. Yeah, I don't wear a robe or anything, but I do like stoles. Good morning. Oh, you can just do the sermon.
That's what I told them.
Okay, the sermon and the scripture. The scripture and the sermon. It might the camera might run out again. I'm not quite sure. Sebastian and I have to get on the same page on that one. I'm not being a good leader in that area. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody this morning?
Excellent.
I'd like to welcome you here to Union Congregational, where no matter who you are or where you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here. And before we get started this morning, we have a few announcements. And, well, first of all, if you have a hard time hearing me, there are hearing devices in the back. And also, if you are new or have a change of address or email, there are slips on that back table that you can fill out just to give us the updated information. And also, on the back there is a prayer request. If you have a more personal prayer request that you don't want to share out loud to everybody, that's a place where you can share a personal prayer request that is for my eyes only. So, any other announcements? Nope.
I pushed the wrong button. I noticed that I think someone has signed up for next Sunday for treats. There is stuff out of the freezer for today, but if you can sign up for treats in the future, please, there's a calendar out on the hallway board. Thank you.
I just wanted to announce Women's Fellowship this week on Thursday, 1 o'clock. I am going to be here probably all afternoon, I decided, and work on blankets. We've got a lot of blankets that we have to get done. I think Tori is going to be here in the evening to work on blankets also.
6 o'clock.
Love to have anybody, and if you want to come even for a half hour to an hour on Thursday, it'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, but she'll be here this afternoon to help with the lunch and tonight for
game night.
Yes, game night tonight, and also
I love how important Sue is that she has to be announced that she's not here. That tells you how much of an important piece she is to this congregation, which I love.
Also, there's the open mic, Kokoro School open mic this afternoon at 2 downstairs.
Is that the lunch you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kokoro, the music school downstairs. Once a month, they have an open mic.
Open mic, and may I go as far as to say...
No.
Okay. I won't. You just got to come. There's a surprise there.
Is it Caesar?
No. It is not Caesar. It is not me. Okay, also, in the bulletin, our Ash Wednesday service and our Lent services are listed. I will not be here for Ash Wednesday, so Judy is going to take the reins on that at her church. I will be on vacation. I'm going to Mexico. And seriously, I'll tell you more about that later. But I will be gone, and Pastor Judy said that she would head that up, and then the Lenten services are listed on here of who's going to be, of where we're going to be at each service. There's going to be meals after. And what I'd like to point out is Sebastian is funny, because March 17th, there is a Lenten prayer breakfast at Union, and he wrote meal after, but in the breakfast, he wrote no meal after breakfast. And he questioned whether or not he should put that. I'm like, they'll love it. Put it in there. So that's us being funny. That's office humor. Any other announcements? Congregational Life meeting is Tuesday at 9:30. And also, yes, Don?
And Board of Financial Stewardship is Tuesday at 5:30.
Board of Financial Stewardship is Tuesday at 5:30. And Bible study tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock for snacks, and then 10:30 is Bible study until 11:30. And I have to tell you, they laugh too much. I don't know how much of the Bible they're reading. No, I'm just kidding. They have a really good time, and they learn a lot. And it's great that we have that with Bonnie, and I know that there are some others that have stepped up to lead that. We were supposed to have a new members class today. Nobody talked to me, so that will be not happening today, but we'll try again in the spring and see what happens in the spring when we have a couple of new people back. And also, oh yes, next Sunday, I'm going to try something new. I know. I didn't use the word change. Notice that. I'm going to try something new. And maybe it's not new to you. Maybe it's just something new to me. Instead of having a sermon time, I would love to have a story time, a sharing of finishing the sentence, God is still speaking in my life, and then you get to tell a story of how you see God working in your life, whether it be through other people, through scripture, through nature. How do you see God working in your life? And it's not a mandatory thing that you come up here and talk. It's not a mandatory thing, but it's a time to share. And so we're going to do that next week, and we'll see how it goes. Oh, and then Numa, after church, we have a Numa. The Numas have been doing really well. It's a short video series, and then you have a discussion afterwards. And we have it the first and third weeks, one time on a Sunday and one time on a Wednesday. We show the same video, but it's kind of cool because the group that you have on Sunday morning is a totally different discussion than what you would have on a Wednesday night. And so it's like you're going to two totally different things, but you don't have to go to both. But I would ask that you try one. So next Sunday we're doing one, and that will be the last one until after Easter. And then we'll start that up again. Any other announcements? The clicker. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Join me in the call to worship. Blessed be the name of God from this time on and forevermore. Blessed be the name of God during the sun and in the overcast sky.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of God is to be praised. From the warm summer days to the cold winter nights, the name of God deserves our praise.
It is good to give thanks to God, to sing praises in every season of our lives. Blessed be the name of God from this time on and forevermore. Join me in prayer. God of life and love, thank you for the sun and the stars, the mountains and the valleys. We come to you offering our thanks and seeking your presence. Be among us and open our hearts to the power of your presence. We trust you through our songs and our words, so that we will leave this place knowing your hand has touched us. Amen. We're going to remain seated I think I've announced this a few times. When we stand, we have a problem seeing the screen. So we're going to remain seated and sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 of The Beauty of the Earth. Of the earth, for the splendor of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. God of all, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For one wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. God of all, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. God of all, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the good that love inspires, for the world where none exclude, for the faith that never tires, and for every heart renewed. God of all, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Please stand. The peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the peace of Christ. Sing to the glory of the God who creates us. Sing to the glory, redeems us. Sing to the glory, Holy Spirit sustains, comforts us as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. You may be seated. The scripture reading for today is 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. We're going to wait for the camera to get on because hopefully... Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. This scripture you have seen, for those of you who have been here the last few weeks, we're reading this again, and this will be the fourth time you have seen this. And we're doing this for a reason, and I'll tell you the reason in the sermon. But instead of having one person read this, I would like to read this as all together, okay? And we're going to try it. And since this is your fourth time seeing it, you should be pretty good at it. Okay, let's read 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. That was really good. Now, over the past 3 weeks, we have been doing a series called Why the Bible? And the first week, we discussed what the Bible is not. What the Bible is not. And then we talked about what the Bible is. And today, we read for the fourth time a passage from 2 Timothy. And by now, you should have that all memorized. So there will be a quiz next week. I'm just kidding. But by now, you should recognize it. And some of us are familiar with it, or at least the last few verses of it. In verses 16 and 17, these verses are used and quoted in many different occasions when talking about the Bible or talking about Scripture. But rarely does anyone read verses 10 through 15. They don't get quoted as much. And what we have done the last few weeks is an exercise called Lectio Divina. And some of you might have heard that word, some of you may not have heard that word. What it is an ancient Bible study method, Lectio Divina. And in the 3rd century, it was kind of started, not perfected, but started in the 3rd century by a theologian named Origen. And he kind of developed this where you would read Scripture over and over and get familiar with it, and then eventually have things stick out to you, and you begin to ask questions, and allowing God to reveal what is in that Scripture for you. And so that is what I have been trying to practice the last 4 weeks with reading the Scripture over and over and over again, that there might be something in these Scriptures that stick in your mind that you go, that sticks out to me. Or, I wonder what, and then you would have a question. So today, I want to explore these verses a little bit more, past Lectio Divina, and ask some questions, maybe put them in their context a little bit, then study them, figure out what filters through so that we can apply it to our lives today. And considering what we've talked about the last few weeks, what the Bible is, what the Bible is not, I think it's important that we see how Scripture can be treated and used to follow Christ. Not to use it as a textbook or a magic eight ball, but to see this ancient and ambiguous and diverse Word of God to shape our thinking so that we can learn how to follow Christ better. Now, growing up, I attended various schools that were probably more conservative in nature than what a UCC pastor would have. I went to an undergrad and did my undergrad in an Assemblies of God school. I did my master's in a Baptist seminary. And they taught me how to read Scripture in certain ways, different ways. I took in both schools classes such as hermeneutics, homiletics, theology, and Greek. And each of the schools taught it in a different way, from a different perspective. And then I started reading, continued to read Scripture, continued to pray, read books, agreed with some books, disagreed with other books. I read more Scripture, and I prayed more, and I began learning that maybe some of the things that I have grown up learning really don't make sense to who I believe God to be now in my life and who I have come to know God to be. Hermeneutics, homiletics, theology, Greek. At some point in life, you just have to see God. And you have to take the good and go, this is true. This is what I know to be true. This is what God has revealed to me to be true. And then other times you look at something and go, that doesn't make sense. And that is what I have tried to do throughout my life. And this is where I ran into the UCC. I don't have to believe a certain way in the UCC or abide by a certain set of rules of thinking. I don't have to agree with my colleagues about every little piece of theology. We can disagree and say, okay, that's the way you see it, that's the way I see it, and we can walk along together without judging one another. It's like I have room to theologically believe and breathe. I have room, and I love this phrase because I said it in my, they asked me during my ordination process. I sat in a group of colleagues who have been doing this for years, and it was like this. They were plugging questions at me of what I believe and how I believe things. And they asked why I wanted to be in the UCC. And my answer was, because the UCC gives me room to wiggle. It gives me room to wiggle in my faith. I can ask questions. I can ask questions about without getting reprimanded for my lack of faith. And I don't get called a heretic, which is kind of really nice. And so today, I want to go through these verses, and I'm a page ahead. And I really believe that part of the Christian faith is about having that freedom to wiggle, to ask questions, and to trust God revealing through the Holy Spirit what God is really like. We have a saying in the UCC, God is still speaking. And we have the comma. God is still speaking through Scripture, through people, through nature. God is not mute. God is not mute. God talks all the time if we are just listening. This morning, I know a Sunday morning is really not to do this as a pastor, but I do this. I was playing on Facebook this morning. And I saw Gracie, you posted something. Where are you, Gracie? There you are. You posted something that said, if you hear the music in nature, what was that? I can't remember. Yeah, it's like if you are still enough, you can hear the music in nature. That music, there's music in nature. And I thought, that is God speaking through his creation. And I thought that that was really cool. And when it comes to the Bible, there are a lot of questions and a lot of interpreting that goes on. And we talked about it last week, that people can find support for their own viewpoints quite easily by cherry-picking the Bible. The Bible is used to justify, or can be used to justify, both slavery and freedom. The Bible can be used to justify keeping women subordinate to men, but it also can be used for equal rights. The Bible can be used to justify violence against enemies, but yet at the same time you can find verses that condemn the very thing. And you can find verses where it talks about submitting to political power, but yet you can find verses that talk about denouncing it and standing up against civil disobedience, or being civil disobedience. I don't know how that phrase goes. We can find the polar opposite positions in the pages of the Bible, and therefore, we need to use wisdom. And wisdom is applied knowledge. We need to use wisdom when we use this book that we call the Bible in our lives. So today I want to hopefully show you how these verses, even though it's an ancient writing, can speak wisdom to us today. Our scripture is found in 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. And I think I have them sectioned off a little bit, and you'll see them up here.
Is that the right one? No.
Do, do, do. Oh, go back. There you go. Nope, now. Go to the now one. Now you have observed my teaching. Okay. It seems that they are, these verses can be sectioned off into three different chunks. Thank you. I'm distracted because I heard somebody say, we already read that. Yeah, Gracie, I know we've already read that. That's what I'm preaching about. Now we're going to read it again. I'm going to read it again. So we have this scripture, and as many of you know, I like to zoom out of many of the texts that we read. I like to ask questions. I like to gather the history and put it in context. But today, I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit, and I want you to ask some questions. We've read this several times over the last few weeks. What are some of the questions that you have when just reading the verses on this particular slide? Am I in the way? Okay. Yeah, what happened in these towns where he specifically brings up these three towns in this setting? I think my first question is, who wrote this? Okay, anybody have a good idea? Paul. Paul wrote this. Who is he writing to? Timothy. Now, here's an important question. Was he writing, because many times Paul writes to a church, was he writing to Timothy, or was he writing to Timothy's church? We don't know. Okay? But when we read the full letter, we realize that this was a letter to Timothy. And, you know, and the next question is, what is their relationship? What is their relationship? Is he just a pastor to him who's kind of the bishop over him and he's giving him instruction? Are they friends? Obviously, they went through some stuff together. You know, these are all great questions. So let me go through and share what I have found from these questions that you have asked. And I gotta say, I'm gonna move back here. Is that okay? Okay. And I do have to say that there's many times where I do research preparing for a sermon, but for this particular sermon, the only thing that I used is a good study Bible. And I did that simply to show you that this is stuff that you can do too. That the history and the knowledge and the wisdom that you get, excuse me, I might need water. Thank you. I'm going to take this off a second. But also with using a study Bible, it's important to know that just as the writers of ancient scripture had a certain perspective and a certain opinion, even the writers of the study Bibles in telling you and interpreting these ancient scriptures, they have a perspective and they have an opinion that they're going to write too. So I just wanted to, you know, I didn't use any of my magic pastor references. I do have them. And they're all in the library. You can use those too. So thank you, Heidi. This is very helpful. I'm just going to use this right here. So the answers to these questions, who is speaking? We said that already, Paul. Who is the audience? Timothy. What was their relationship? Paul met Timothy on his first missionary journey. And Timothy was pretty young. He was living with his mom and his grandmother, who were both Jewish. But his dad was a Gentile. We don't, maybe Roman, maybe Greek. We're not sure. And Timothy impressed Paul so much that when he came back for his second missionary journey, he took Timothy with him. And so Timothy went on these missionary journeys with him. And then as Timothy got older, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to kind of be the pastor there. And Timothy, being young, he ran into some issues, and Paul wrote the church some letters, Ephesians being one of them. And so Timothy ended up being a pastor of this church. And this letter that is written to this young pastor, it's not necessarily a public letter. It's a personal letter. And it was written while Paul was imprisoned in Rome, towards the end of his life. This was one of the last known letters that Paul wrote. It was intimate. It was personal. And when we read this, we're reading somebody else's mail. This isn't to us. This isn't a letter to us. This is a somebody else's mail, a letter to a friend, a close friend. And they've been through some really tough things together. And when you read this letter in its entirety, there is this feeling of intimacy in giving these last instructions to somebody who you would feel as a mentoree or even a son. And even when Paul is writing to Timothy, he calls him, "My son. This is what I want you to know." And what is the setting? Like I said, Paul was in prison. And 1 Timothy, there's two Timothys. The first Timothy is written more for instruction. Here's how you pastor the church. Here's what I want you to know when it comes to ministry. And Titus, it goes 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus is very similar to 1 Timothy. And Paul writes a lot of the same stuff to Titus. But 2 Timothy is different. And I want you to see how different, because in the next chapter, where the verses 9 through 13, here's what he says. "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Tros. Also the books, and above all, the parchments." This was personal. He was asking Timothy, "Come and see me. People have deserted me. I am alone here, and I need support. But when you come, I want you to bring these specific things with you." And it almost gives me chills about how personal this is. This is not like the Paul who writes about how you need to treat each other in a church. This is not the Paul who is fighting the Galatians about circumcision and whether somebody should be circumcised or not. He is not being theological. He's not being a church leader. He is being a friend, and he's being human. And so this is a special letter to his friend Timothy. And Don, you asked a really good question. You have Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and you're like, what happened in these towns? What is going on? Why does he bring these three towns up? In Antioch, some of you were here, most of you were here when we did a series on Acts, and we told the story of Acts. Paul was going to all these towns. Some of them accepted him. Others totally did not. And you have Antioch. In Antioch, a mob of religious leaders ran him out of town. In Iconium, a mob of religious leaders attacked and planned to stone Paul and Barnabas, but they escaped before that could happen. In Lystra, ironically, Timothy's hometown, Paul was stoned and left for dead by a bunch of religious leaders. I did lose my place again. Here's the thing. Sometimes when I print it out on the printer at work, it gives me both sides. I lose my place. And there are cultural factors as well when reading this. There was the Roman Empire that was dominating. The early Christian church, also called the Way, was seen as a threat to the empire. And also, it was a threat to the Jewish Pharisees in particular. They were threatened by it. Now, also, when looking at Scripture, it's important to zoom out, as we just did. We ask questions to figure out the original context, maybe help us get a bigger picture, instead of simply just going directly to interpretation and translating it literally. Zooming out, getting the context of the story of who's really involved and where this letter really came from. And I'm going to ask you to do slide two. And this is slide two. And what we're going to do with this part of the scripture is that we've zoomed out. Now we're going to zoom in, okay? And some of these questions that we're going to ask talk about words. You would think I'd get my act together here a little bit. Talk about words used in different translations. What are the words that are used here that might be used differently in other translations? Are there phrases that might mean something different in English than they do in Greek? And there is a word that I want to zoom in verse 15. And it is the word instruct, right here. The word instruct. In Greek, it means a type of instruction that leads to moral and ethical conduct. Not just knowledge, but knowledge with application. And what is knowledge with application? Wisdom. Wisdom. And it's interesting to note that in the NIV, the New International Version, the New Living Translation, even the New King James Version, takes this word instruct and doesn't use the word instruct, but it uses the word wisdom, wise. Paul is telling Timothy to use what he has learned and act on it with wisdom. Use scripture, use your heart, use your heart, use your head, use the scripture. The three work together to interpret for application today. Slide three. Now these are the last verses, the ones that some of us are more familiar with. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Okay? Now, in the ancient times, all Scripture. What is all Scripture? The New Testament didn't exist. The Old Testament wasn't put together yet. The Scripture Paul is talking about are parchments and writings, maybe not his, definitely not his, because he didn't realize that yet, because his stuff wasn't canonized until later. But he's talking about the ancient texts, the scrolls, Isaiah, some of the prophets, some of the history of Israel. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about his letters. He's not talking about the Gospels. The history of Israel, that was their Scripture. So you have an older mentor, a father figure, writing a very personal letter to a mentoree, someone he thought of as a son. There is a deep, deep friendship here, a relationship that is embedded into these Scripture verses. And when we read all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, it's not a pastor talking to a church. It is like a father talking to a son, giving final instruction, passing on wisdom, and that is based in relationship. Now, we know all this stuff. Now that we know all of this, I'm waiting to kick over my water now. Now that we know all of this, these things, got lost again. Isn't this crazy? I went out to dinner last night. I blame that on the dinner people I went with. Oh, they're here. I won't point them out. So, now that we know all this stuff, what information filters through into the 21st century, into the 21st century, into the here and the now? What is our takeaway from this? How does this apply to us now? There are two things that I see, and maybe you see more, but I know that there are two things, and they're two totally different things. And you can take away whatever it is that resonates with you. My first thought was when I was reading this letter, this very personal letter, from a pastor sitting in a jail. I thought about Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from the Birmingham jail and what he wrote. Now, I have never read it totally through, but I did this past week because it popped into my head, and I wanted to know what he said. And I found that Martin Luther King Jr. wrote this from a jail cell in Alabama. And he wrote it to other pastors who thought it was important to fight inequality and fight for justice in the courts rather than in the streets. And many of the pastors did not believe in civil disobedience. And he wrote this letter telling these pastors his point of view. And he had some really good points within it. At one point, he talked about just and unjust laws. And he quoted Thomas Aquinas, who said, "Any law that uplifts human personality is just, and any law that degrades human personality is unjust." He went on to say, "More and more I feel that the people of ill will have used time much more effectively than have the people of goodwill. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people." He then says we must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do what is right. I think that fits today. I think that fits this week in many ways. So that is one way of applying this scripture. Another way of applying this scripture is focusing on the relationship of Paul and Timothy. We have all had Pauls in our lives, those who invest in us and who have taught us along the way, not just knowledge, not just teaching us stuff, but passing on wisdom of how to apply this knowledge to life, how to conduct ourselves in this world appropriately. We all have a Paul who has brought us this far. It could be a parent, it could be a friend, it could be a teacher, a coach. We all have at least one person who has done that in our life. But we also have Timothys in our life. Those who we invest in, those we teach, those we train, not only in knowledge but also wisdom, teaching them how to conduct themselves in life, doing the head and the heart and the scripture. And my hope, Union Congregational, is that may we be the kind of church that uses scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, with wisdom, knowledge put into action. May we use our hearts and our minds and our relationships to shape us into who God wants us to be. And may we listen to God, who is still speaking and teaching. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, "Great is Your Faithfulness." If you have a hymn book, it's page 423. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2, and we'll remain seated. Take some time to share our prayer requests, our concerns, our joys. Heidi has the microphone. Oh, Myra has. Oh. Okay.
It was great joy. The sun was out for 3 days in a row this week.
I have talked about my two, I have three sisters. Two of them have been having some health issues. The oldest one had a pacemaker put in, and she's been having some fluid issues. So she needs some prayers. And my younger sister has leukemia, and she will be going to Mayo Clinic for some experimental drugs to help with this leukemia issue she's having. So we need prayers for both of them. Thank you. Luella and Arlene.
Luella and Arlene, for experimental?
Luella's having experimental treatment, yes, for leukemia.
Okay. So Arlene has a pacemaker with fluid.
Yep.
When I get those right, like, God knows which one is which, even if I mess up.
He knows which one.
God knows. Any other prayer requests?
She passed away this last week, and there will be no services. And Paul is grieving dreadfully, but don't go see him because you don't want to see anybody.
What is his name, Paul?
Norlene Ward. She was a herd, and the herds are old, old families.
Okay. And what is her husband's name, Paul?
Paul.
Any others?
Pray for Kevin.
Kevin?
As he'll be coming back, that he can adapt with the weather.
That's it. I'm not praying for him. No, we will pray for him to adapt to the nice, warm cruise weather. Can't believe I'm praying this. I adore Kevin. That he gets home safely. And there is an adaption that goes with it, as many of you know, coming back here in the winter. So that is valid. I don't mean to tease, but that is totally valid. You guys better be praying for me in a couple weeks when I come back from Mexico. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for being a God of wisdom, for being a God who has a desire to pass on your wisdom to others. God, we thank you for the people in our lives who have gone before us and who've paved the way for us, and who took the time to teach us not only knowledge, but conduct, and taught us how to apply that so that we can pass on wisdom to the younger generation, whether it be our children, our grandchildren, our friends, kids that we have taught, kids that we have coached. God, we thank you that we can pass that wisdom on to others. God, we thank you for your love and your patience with us. We thank you for loving us no matter what we have done in our lives or no matter what we will do in the future. God, your love doesn't change. That you're always faithful to forgive us. You're always faithful to never leave us and to walk by us no matter what. God, we lift up Myra and her sisters and Myra's whole family as her sisters go through these health issues. We pray for Luella as she goes into the Mayo Clinic and doing some experimental, some of the things that that are experimental that we might not know the outcome of, that there is a risk in doing that. And God, we pray that you protect her. We pray that you give the doctors and the nurses wisdom to know what to do. And we pray for peace. And we pray for healing. And we pray for Arlene as well, with a similar prayer, with a pacemaker and having fluid. God, we ask that you heal her. And again, giving the doctors and the nurses wisdom to know what to do in this situation. God, we pray for Paul and the passing of Norlene, that you would comfort him. And even though he might be secluded right now and he doesn't want people calling and people around him, God, we ask that you be with him. We know you're with him. We know you're with him in the lonely nights when he's just trying to get through another day. We ask that you give him peace. We ask that you give him comfort. And we ask that you heal his heart as he grieves the loss. God, we pray for Kevin too as he comes back from his cruise, that you keep him safe. And God, we ask that you help him adjust getting back to his normal life. We ask that he was refreshed and relaxed. But God, we also know that it's an adjustment coming back here, and we ask that that goes smoothly. And God, we thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for days where we can look up and be reminded that on the coldest of days, you bring light. We thank you, God, for being so good to us. God, we pray for our country at this time too. It's been a crazy week. We pray for our President Donald Trump, that you give him wisdom again, that you bring peace within our House and our Senate and the White House. We pray for Nancy Pelosi. We pray for Mitch McConnell. We pray for Mr. Schiff. We pray for other leaders who are just trying to do the right thing in their eyes. We pray for Mitt Romney. God, we thank you for being able to be part of this United States, but it gets messy sometimes. And we ask that you give the leaders strength and perseverance and a willingness to seek out what is best for the country. And we ask this knowing that you are the God who leads us and guides us. And we pray these words as your Son has taught us to pray. Our God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for this morning's offering?
Thank you.
Please rise. Seated. Let us sing one last song together. Blessed be the tie that binds. And we're going to sing three verses of that.
Are we going to do the prayer?
Oh, thank you. I forgot the prayer. Let us pray together. Gracious God, whose heart abounds with gifts, receive this offering as a sign of your intention to live surrounded by your mercy. Inspired by your Holy Spirit, open to the joy of your presence, hospitable to one another, and generous towards our world. Amen. Now let's sing. Blessed be the tie that binds, verses 1, 2, and 3. Please stand for the benediction. I know, Mary, you just sat down. Receive the benediction. May the God, the Creator, go with you this week. May God, the Son, shine through you. And may God, the Holy Spirit, go with you in all that you do. Amen.
God's blessing shine upon us. May we go in peace to love and serve.